Monsignor Oscar Arnulfo Romero, Archbishop of San Salvador, was assassinated in San Salvador on March the 24th. Since becoming Archbishop in February 1977, he had publicly advocated respect for human rights in spite of threats against his own life, and become a towering figure in the life of El Salvador.
He's one of the greatest men that taught us the ways to look for peace, for social justice, to see the dignity of the person. And for me, was the greatest defender of human rights in El Salvador and in our times. For me, is the man of the millennium.
Shooting broke out today outside San Salvador's cathedral, where a funeral mass was being said for the assassinated Archbishop, Monsignor Oscar Arnulfo Romero. The crowd panicked and surged.
Oh, I can remember it all very vividly. In the morning, we gathered very early and we walked in procession alongside priests and bishops who were going to celebrate the mass. But behind and alongside them were hundreds of thousands that had come from all over the country. And it was estimated in the end there were 250,000 in the central square and the surrounding streets, because the celebration, the requiem, was being done on the steps of the cathedral after the gospel, just as the Archbishop of Mexico City got up to give the kind of homily and the tribute to Romero. As it began, bombs were thrown into the crowd.
I was in the funeral next to his coffin. And when the government exploded the bombs, the first bombs, the other bombs, and were four bombs, I saw the people that was coming to the cathedral because it was an iron curtain, and they were taking refuge in the cathedral. I thought that was going to be a terrible thing. So I entered with the coffin of Monsignor Romero to the side that where he was going to be buried. I stayed there until he was buried.
People in the military quarters looked as though they were firing down into the crowd. Some people in the crowd who had guns looked as though they were firing back. There was a fair degree of panic and movement. And a lot of people thought the safe place to be was in the cathedral.
We hid inside the cathedral, but people were being crushed against the gates. The gates to the cathedral were barred in order to, not for any reason of keeping people out, but in order that everybody could see and be at a distance from the funeral.
I lost the sense of time, but I suppose that the two first hours, it was a terrible situation. Nobody knew what to do because they were shooting to the cathedral. I thought that the cathedral was going to come down.
Romero's, the coffin with Romero's body was taken to the crypt of the cathedral and very quickly and rapidly buried without the requiem mass ever being completed.
But later on, I saw that there were dead people, but it was the smallest number that could happen according to the all terrible things that I saw before I entered the cathedral. For me, it was the first miracle of Monsignor Romero.
There should have been hundreds of people killed if there were 250,000 people who stampeded in that quarters, in that range. But in fact, the number of dead was 43.
Santo, Santo, Santo.
He was not a popular choice when he was made Archbishop, but within a month of his being there, one of his priests was killed by the death squads, a priest who'd spoken out for the rights of the peasants in the countryside who were terribly oppressed, landless people. And this priest, Rutilio Grande, was a friend of Romero's.
I meet him the first time when Father Rutilio Grande was shot to death. He struck me very much because he was telling us that it was a message that the bodies, dead bodies, Rutilio Grande and two campesinos, was telling us that the church has to be in the places where the freedom has to be obtained to fight, and the church can't be absent of that. And in that moment, I changed my life. It was in March of 1977. The first massacre of these times that happened in El Salvador happened the 21st of June of 1975. The National Guard came in Canton Las Tres Calles. He entered and he massacred almost the totally the number of the family. When Monsignor knew about that, he immediately went to, with the people. He cried with the people. He prayed with the people. He was really shocked with what was happening. But when he returned to his home, he wrote two letters. One letter to President Molina, and he asked first to know the truth with a great investigation, to bring the guilty one to the tribunals, and to have reparation for the victims. And the other letter he sent it to his fellow bishops, telling them what has happened, and now he was asking them what to do more for the victims. The pattern that he established in a private way years later, in 1977, he did in a public way.
We met Oscar Romero in the Human Rights Office in San Salvador and met some of the people who were working with the families of the disappeared. On Advent Sunday, he preached in the half-complete cathedral.
He was a great preacher, and in order to denounce the horrible violations of human rights, the killings, the disappearances, the torture that were happening in El Salvador at that time, he used especially his Sunday sermon. He took the gospel and he analysed it, he pulled it apart and he applied it to the situation in El Salvador.
Romero preached for 45 minutes on Advent, and then he gave the news of the week.
The good news would be the celebrations that they'd had, people who'd been confirmed, letters and solidarity that had been expressed from abroad. And the bad news then was a list with names of people who disappeared, people who'd been arrested, people whose bodies had turned up, the atrocities that had been committed in human rights and also in terms of people's rights to a livelihood, their negotiating rights as trade unionists and so on. And he became the voice of the voiceless.
Because he had the only radio station that wasn't controlled by the oligarchy, people all the way around the country would listen to radio on Sundays, often intimidated by some of the various militias who didn't approve this.
That radio station was bombed by the death squads and people linked with the military.
The government accused him of a political man, of communist, subversive, and many things like that. And to accuse a people in that moment of being subversive and communist, it was a sentence of death. Of course, his actions coincide with politics, but he was evangelical man, no, was not political man.
His refusal to be manipulated by the government and those who'd hoped that as Archbishop he would take the church back into the sacristy and away from the social commitment of previous years, he showed the reverse. And he put himself alongside the poor, and they were his people. He often talked about my people.
He was very plainly saying, you have to stand on the side of the oppressed, and if you're given a choice, you choose the side that's difficult for you, but better for those who have difficulties. If you're a shepherd, you go with your sheep in danger.
The people loved him very much. They understand that he was the man that really hear them, that defend them. They have a great confidence in him and hope.
Here's a man who ended the building of the cathedral until life was better for the people for whom the cathedral existed.
But he has enemies too. They hated because he always was defending the poor and everybody that needs to be defended on human rights.
The military and the rich families used to insult Romero, had campaigns against him, there was car stickers that said, be a patriot, kill a priest.
Monsignor Romero always received a white hand in a black paper. It was the sign of the death squads. But he always was firm in his position, and he said, I am going to defend my people. I denounce these and these violations. He never went back.
I think he provided inspiration to people, and without him, the situation in El Salvador could have gone on being bad for another 20 years or so. Thank you.
He was not frightened of anybody. He spoke in the name of the gospel, in the name of a church that was putting itself alongside the poor. And his priests were killed, half a dozen priests were killed in his 3 years as Archbishop before he himself was assassinated.
Monsignor Romero was killed when he was saying Mass. He was finishing his sermon to enter the offertory when a car came, and from the door they shot him to death. In that moment, I thought that Monsignor was not going to be touched. That was impossible. But when he was shot, I realized that in El Salvador, from now on, could happen anything.
He very simply knew what was right and what was wrong, and was prepared to say so.
They take away the greatest man that ever happened in El Salvador, and I think in this millennium.
An ordinary man doing ordinary things often and achieving extraordinary results.
Martyrdom is a grace from God which I do not believe I deserve. But if God accepts the sacrifice of my life, then may my blood be the seed of liberty and a sign that hope will soon become a reality. May the death, if it is accepted by God, be for the liberation of my people and as a witness of hope in what is to come. Can you tell them, if they succeed in killing me, that I pardon and bless those who do it? But I wish that they could realize that they are wasting their time. A bishop may die, but the Church of God, which is the people, will never die.